Hello and welcome to Weekly Open. I'm Brian. Just me and Don today. No music, no nothing. Just raw. Here for you. Not from home, but happy to be here. Don, how's it going?
Good, good. I mean, it's been a few crazy weeks, and we finally settled down a little bit. And I see a lot of people kind of freaking the fuck out that we aren't going up only. So... it's okay. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's vacation week for me, but you know, I can't get away from talking to you. So here we are.
I'll take it as a compliment.
I will say I'm not like, I haven't really been stressed about price action. Maybe I'm just too separated from it right now. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, everything looks good in the higher time frames. I don't personally think this is like you missed your chance to sell the top type of scenario, which seems to be pervasive right now. But
I think what people are afraid of, basically, I mean, just like something like this, where we broke out, we had like an indecisive candle. And then they're like, this has been such a bad bear market. Every time this happened, went down. But the structure is a completely different one, right? I mean, we had a low here, made a lower low, and then completely obliterated these lows, broke all the way through it, held support, and then rallied up. So I wouldn't necessarily compare these two at all. I think the context is a completely different one. I'm same as you. I'm not really worried. Last week, just didn't do anything, and that's a good thing in my opinion. Like, you have a massive rally, we had 4 weeks of massive rally, then we had a little bit of sideways, then we had another week of like a massive push up. I mean, this was basically all in 1 week, and it was a push up of 40%, right? I mean, obviously it was two weekly candles, but all of this was done in a few days, 40% up, and now we just didn't move. And you'd expect a pullback after fixed 40% move. I didn't even get that. It's just been sideways. So high time frame wise, this looks excellent. Low time frame wise, I've seen a lot of people kind of freak out, but even those look good. But we can talk about them in a sec. I think we go time frame to time frame.
One thing that's a little concerning. Did you see that Sailor already bought again, which we covered in the last episode?
Yes, but the crazy thing is, right, and this is the first time in a long, long time that he bought and announced the buy, and price was up after, like, because he was exit liquidity all the way down, right? Every time he bought, he would announce it, and you would look at price, and you're like, how the fuck did he manage to buy the top again?
And it was the top.
Yes. And this time around, he bought and price went up, which is a little bit of a different paradigm than what we used to.
I didn't see their fill price, did you?
23K.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at you go.
Yeah. I think it was 23 something. It's the first time in a long time that he bought and didn't immediately go underwater. Must feel euphoric about it. Like, I can just see him, like, see price go up and then madly smashing the buy button. And then price goes down 20% immediately. And that the entire bear market. And now he has, like, a buy and profit. Must be euphoric as fuck.
He's on the while buying, he's got the, like, wag me attitude, you know. And then he's, like, that pencil zombie guy. What do you call that thing? The down bad character. Once it starts dropping, that guy, like, Gainsey posted all the time. You know what I'm talking about, like this guy. That's what I'm all freaking out.
I always forget it's names for anything, really. Like, I'm so fucking bad with it, even with people. Like, I just forget it. Like, someone introduces themselves to me, like, 5 seconds after, it's gone, and then I'm like, oh, what was your name again? I'm terrible with names. They come back to me and they're like, oh yeah, sorry, no problem. Tell me the name again. 5 seconds after, gone again, and I feel like an idiot.
You can't ask a third time.
No, like, at some point, you're just like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to try to avoid the name until someone else says it. But oftentimes, even then, I still forget it again. So I'm hopeless with that. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of a paradigm shift that he bought, and price actually still went up. It's a good sign. We haven't had that like in a long time, because basically every time he bought, price went down. The last times when he was buying and he was in profit after, it's basically on the left side of this thing, which is quite cool. Doesn't have to mean anything, obviously, but I'm not too worried about it. Like, I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, Sailor Boy, it's over. Not necessarily. And the crazy thing is he's almost break even now. Did you see? Like, his average is 29K. We're trading at 27.
Okay, so he pulled down his average pretty well then.
Yeah, I mean, he's like not doing too poorly, all things considered. And something that you also have to consider is that if he tried to pull the same stunt right now, he obviously couldn't, right? Because the whole, like, everything's just different now. Like, he couldn't get the money from everyone to kind of buy a shitload of Bitcoin with it. So maybe it turns into a good move after all. Like, maybe he's just been 500 IQing all of us, taking the liquidity on the left side and then just keep on buying in the bear market. And now that everything's dried up and you cannot get money anymore, he has a shitload of money stuck in Bitcoin. If Bitcoin goes up, no, he looks like a genius. So maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if he was really smart, he wouldn't have been buying above 50K. But
do you want to walk? Fair enough.
Do you want to walk us through the time frames?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. The monthly time frame looks really, really, really good, in my opinion. We talked about the support, right, during the show for a long time. And then we just kind of wicked into it, completely melted upwards and broke the resistance that we've been struggling with at 23K. And technically speaking, right, if you consider all of this a range, we've been like ranging for 8-9 months, and we just broke that range to the upside. And when you break a range to the up or downside, you'd expect that it kind of just goes hard. And we had the same thing happen up here, right? We broke the range to the downside. And then we had massive candles to the downside, another like tiny range down here, another breakdown. So like that led to quite the move. I mean, it was from 35K all the way down towards 15K. That's a 56% drawdown from that range loss. For me, this is quite significant. Like, if you're breaking this range and there's only 4 days left to kind of close like this, so I don't think we're gonna kind of turn this candle red. If we do, it's fucked. Like, that just looks horrendous, right? Like, if you go back to 23K, I mean, the fuck is that chart at that point? But really, really bad. But right now it looks really good. And for me, a breakout is always genuine until it's proven otherwise. So I'll just be bullish until we basically lose 23K again on the monthly. I think that's just the most sensible thing to do, because if you look through the kind of Bitcoin's timeline and what's been happening every time it's confirmed a new trend, is that it's just been running away from people, right? And I mean, this is the BitMEX chart, so it doesn't have that much history. But if you, I mean, we can just open up one that has history.
You might be the only person I know that still trades on the BitMEX chart. I like that.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to transfer the all of my paintings over. And it doesn't really make too much of a difference. Like, it only makes a difference on the 1 hour, like anything below there. So, but if you look at Bitcoin, the kind of the timeline that we've gone through, like, you have a breakout here, you move up strong. You have a breakout here, you move up strong. You have a breakout here, and there's not really any looking back, right? So for me, it makes sense to be aggressively bullish until we're invalidated, because I know that on the monthly time frame, once this thing starts rolling, there's not going to be an entry for me. Like, I can get an entry in the lower time frames, but there's not going to be like a high time frame entry that I can take advantage of. So I feel like I'm really good, like really well positioned, because I mean, my position is from down here. So I can just keep that, play with it. As you can see, like, there's been barely any pullbacks in the monthly time frame. So I'm quite excited on that one. It does have to hold though. Like, if it starts kind of, like I said, if it closes below there again, I think at that point I'd be less inclined to be optimistic, and more likely just I'd want to pull my money out and see where it goes from there. But yeah, right now it looks good. And on the weekly time frame, it also looks really good, right? We have this kind of, we had this range in here that ended with FTX imploding. That was kind of like a trap down here. Basically, a lot of people sold, got really, really bearish, and that got bought up really quickly. So we came back into the range. It's usually something I look for, like whenever you have range and you fall out of it, you'd expect it to go down. But if it doesn't and it actually comes back into that range, then it usually goes at least to the other side of the range. And as you can see here, like we re-entered the range and then went all the way to the other side of the range, retested really briefly, and then just shot off. So it's like usually a good sign when you lose a range and you come back into it. That's usually a good sign that you're going to get a little bit of a squeeze. We did that and we did a little more on top. So that also looks really good to me, because we're still trading quite a bit above it. The only thing that we're kind of battling with right now is the bottom of this range, because we have a really, really odd kind of setup here that is going to show up if we keep going up, which is we're going to do the same thing, right? Like you see this and you're like, oh, this was just like this range here. And this is the fake out, like the fake breakdown where we come back up again. If you do the same thing here and we come up into the 30K range, then you could argue all of this is the same, right? So you have a massive range here on the left side. You have a massive kind of like shakeout below the range, and you come back into the range and you'd actually just expect it to go to the top of the range. So the reason I think why we're struggling here so much is basically because it's the last point where you can struggle before you go massively up. Because if the bears are proven wrong here and we go up a little bit more, reclaim the range, then we have a really, really good bullish setup that might actually just take us all the way back to 60K. And whenever you have something like that, where like the bears are cornered or the bulls are cornered, like the last line of defense, that usually holds for a while. And I think that's kind of where this current weakness is coming from. Which makes sense, right? And that's, I think, this is the only really good argument to be bearish here, because there's no real point where you can be bearish elsewhere. Like, you're either going to be bearish here, or you can try to be bearish when we reclaim 30K, but then you're just going to get blown the fuck out, right? So this is the only logical set, like, this is the only logical place to be bearish, even though it looks really good. I mean, I get it, but...
So I was about to say this, and it's being reiterated in the chat right now, which is basically nobody is a believer in new all-time highs. So it makes me a little nervous, because I'm also not a believer in new all-time highs.
I find it quite funny, because we have the best narrative ever, right?
I know. But it's hard to imagine Bitcoin actually in price exploration anytime soon to me. Even though there is the narrative for it, and like you said, like plenty of people left behind, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, we're closing on the halving again as well. Again, had a really good one last time. I don't know. It's a good setup. The TA like would support a massive move to the upside if we just show a little bit more strength. But like I said, given this is the last area of defense, I get why people are like a little bit defensive. Which I think is good. If the price pushes through, a lot of people are kind of in a shitty position, right?
A lot of people would be left behind on that move, in my opinion.
Yes.
Like, so I look at the 30K region and I'm like, looks like a great exit.
Yes. But I mean, I'm just going to wait and see. My original target was like 32K. When I was buying 16, I was like, okay, I could see this go all the way back. I mean, I posted a target of 100K back at 16K, right? I was like, I could see this run all the way back and then beyond. But my realistic target was 32K, like a double in a bear market. Because another possibility for this thing is basically you have a range here and you have a range here and you just range in here for a while. And you have like a macro range here, and then you broke it down. You have like a little bit of a lower range. We've seen this before in other names, like gold, for example, if you look at it, where
it's the most beautiful chart on earth, Don, on the monthly.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It looks
really, really good. Yeah. But you have basically a range here, then you have a range down here, and eventually you break back above and do some. I mean, this is honestly, it's a little bit embarrassing, this price action, when you think about it, right? Like, you had a really good gold narrative too, and it just completely
nuked.
Yeah, there was like nothing there, right? I mean, everything was kind of on gold side and it didn't do anything, but right now it does look really good because technically. You also have a kind of like a smaller range in here that's been tested a lot to the upside. I still remember like when I was tweeting about this, basically this range constricting, I was like, I wouldn't want to be short gold. Like, this looks really good. And then it broke out. This is kind of shaping up to be the same thing, especially given we had a little bit of a shakeout down here. So I think gold's probably going to make new all-time highs as well.
It had an amazing narrative back in, I guess, 2020. When that was trying to make an all-time high, failed it, and you see how badly it failed it, that it was just like 6 to 8 months of capitulation into that circle that you just drew. And now it's like, okay, well, all those believers in gold's moment with inflation going high, they're done, right? Like, they're out. And now it is well prepped for the move. But that was a tough shakeout for gold. But in my mind, you get this type of consolidation at this type of level for an asset like that. And I just think gold is setting up for what you would call kind of a secular bull market, like a long time frame move to, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000, something like that. But it might take years and years. Mm-hmm. But it's a fantastic place, in my opinion, to park your fiat between higher risk trades, like for your true store of value, if you will, that's like the lower beta of Bitcoin. Obviously, I'm a big believer in Bitcoin as a store of value in the long term as well. But I feel like for your low beta, like the stuff that you really want to preserve your buying power, but not over risk, I feel like gold is probably primed to be that asset for the coming decade.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I hate gold. I think it's stupid, but
yeah,
in comparison to Bitcoin, like, it's such a stupid thing. But yeah, I think it's well set up in the current macro environment. But it's gold, right? I could just see it do this.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're doing it as a trade, it might also hurt. You know, like, you're unlikely to be in the best performing asset. Gold. It's the worst performing commodity over the past some number of years. You'd have to look at that Charlie Bellio, or however you pronounce his last name, Bellio. Mm-hmm. He always does the like commodities performance by year, decade, and like, gold is always at the bottom.
Yep.
But anyway, if you're worried about cash, you know, I'm not sure that paper gold is the best route for it. So I'm making more negative arguments than I am positive arguments, but I like the chart, is my point.
Yes, I actually like it too. It's a good looking one.
And the other one it reminds me of a bit is the NASDAQ. If you go to NDX in 2016, you have to look at like maybe even a quarterly chart. This is a proper Dawn time frame here.
Where do you want to look at it?
Just search NDX.
NDX.
Uh-huh. No, just the ticker is NDX. Don't even look NASDAQ.
Oh,
NDX. Like, no. The letter N, the letter D, and the letter X.
Oh, okay. This one?
Yep, and then go quarterly.
Well,
no, that's INDX. Sorry, Don's driving. N is in niner, D as in dog, X as in X. No,
NDX. Okay.
Because
I was like, yeah, why would that be NASDAQ? I was so confused for a second.
It's the NASDAQ 100.
Yes.
All right. So do you see that you're in linear? It looks ridiculous. Oh, now that's linear. Yeah. So the consolidate, this thing didn't make a new all-time high for 15 years. So to get back to the bubble in 2001, and then it consolidated for about six quarters, because you're at a quarterly chart. So a year and a half, 2 years of consolidation at the to the right there in 2016. Mm-hmm. And then it finally broke out and it just went absolutely turbo right there. Yeah. See, to the right there, there's like six candles. So it's like several years worth of consolidation at the highs, basically. And then it just went absolutely nuts out of that.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't look like a long period of time, but that's a long period of time on that consolidation on the right.
Yeah, it's such an odd looking chart, honestly. But it's every time I look at the S&P and the NASDAQ, I'm like, the fuck?
Like,
what is this chart? But I'm guessing like it's just like inflation priced into a lot of this too.
These are indexes that don't have permanent residents, right? So like the S&P 500, you can lose your membership. The NASDAQ 100, you can lose your membership.
Yes. And it's actually genius Ponzi. Like, it's not Ponzi, obviously. It's funny.
Yeah, it's self-healing so that your junkiest companies are thrown out.
Yeah. Which is smart. We should do this in crypto.
We'd only get them at the very top. Like, they don't add value once they get to the top 10. Like, that's when it's over.
True, fair enough. But yeah, gold is in such an odd spot, and it's really interesting because that puts us in an odd spot, right? Because Bitcoin is like the alternative to gold for some people. It's kind of tech stock for other people. We have like all these narratives floating around. Like, you could say like, oh, it should be trading like the NASDAQ, should be trading like the S&P, should be trading like gold. And then it trades like all of them a little bit. And gold is just pushing for new highs. So I don't know. For me, the reason why I'm like, why I like Bitcoin, and I saw someone in the chat be basically like, Don doesn't believe like that it's gonna go up. He's just gonna looking for like selling in the 30s. I actually think there's a good argument to be made for this to actually just make new highs. Like, this is the narrative that we needed for a long, long time. We've had shitty narratives like, oh, it's an inflation hedge or whatever, but that's just basically a bunch of people sitting there wondering what they can say to make people buy Bitcoin or to make people buy into crypto instead of actually having a proper narrative, right? Because I can say like crypto is going to solve world hunger, but it's not actually going to do that, right? And why would it be like the best inflation hedge in the world? It could be, but it doesn't have to be. And it's just like people just shooting in the dark. But this is exactly what Bitcoin is made for, this current situation. And why not, right? Like, when you have this kind of narrative and honestly, this looking chart, I'm not gonna be there being a bear tart. I think in general, it's pretty easy to be a bear tart at lower levels, right? Because at the end of the day, like if this goes back below 20K, we're kind of cooked. And I think a lot of people agree on that. And then you can just be bearish at below 20K. And this is basically the bears are taking constant, or like in general, like the bulls have like this kind of setup where, I'm in from 16K, but even if you're from higher, right? The bulls have this setup with a potential of new all-time highs, right? Because you have an easy invalidation if this comes back down. And the bears are sitting here with basically... And I've seen a lot of people do this where they're kind of like bearish from 18K, 16K, whatever. The bears are like, okay, I'm targeting 14K and my stop loss is down. Like, what is this shit? Like, you cannot trade like this. Like, it makes no sense.
That's not their real stop loss, but it is. It's a hard trade.
Like, where is the proper trade setup here? And even if you like short it here, right? You're basically gonna short into like a breakout, which I think is just generally a bad idea.
You have that vacuum above the red line there for the kind of key area. And it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna short here, I'm gonna short here, I'm gonna short here, but it's still kind of a vacuum. Like, if you look at the volume profile or something like that, like it would consistently just show like there's nothing there between 22 to 32 or whatever those numbers yes. are.
Yeah, that's basically like, and if you're kind of on the wrong side of this, when it moves there, the problem is, right, like if you're shorting it from here to 32K and you get blown out, are you actually going to short the actual resistance? Probably not.
Where's your invalidation along the way there?
Yeah. So like for me, the sensible trade is either like if you're like, okay, this is way too high for me now to enter because you don't have a position and just wait. Because if we go back above 30K and start closing monthlies above 35, I think it's pretty clear that we're just going to run to the range high. So that's a 2x still in there somewhere that you can take advantage of. You can also wait for this thing to resolve if you want to. Or you want to be long. I don't see the short side as like something that I can realistically take here. Just because the high time frames don't make sense. Like on a low time frame, if you want to take shorts in 1 hour, 4 hour, whatever, I think that's completely fine. But the high time frames makes very little sense to me.
I think people are disgusted that we've been spending the vast majority of our conversation on quarterly and monthly and type time frames. They've asked us to get down into the weeds, Don. Can we look at a daily or a 4 hour? Is there anything that you like or dislike?
I mean, the daily, I like the daily, but there's not really, the thing is we broke out so massively, right? That there's not really that much there. You could argue like, hey, we're at a resistance, like we hit that resistance, and that's true. Like on the left side of things, that's where we got rejected. And I think in general, and this wick doesn't exist on other exchanges. There's a BitMEX wick, which is quite funny. Typical BitMEX.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah, I think... Like if you want to be very, very defensive and you think, okay, it's going to wipe out, I think the best kind of target to look for is like, this is a really nice target actually, like just wipe that wick, even though it doesn't exist anywhere else, because it's basically exactly into range high, like 25K seems like really good support to me. Not sure we're going to get it. But if we do, like that's where, like if I didn't already have all my positions, that's where I would want to buy. And we have the resistance at 29. And I think if we break that, we're going to get quite the swift move up. So there's trades to be done here, right? If you want to
25 is also the weekly 200, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. 25.5.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that works. Like exactly that's where I think it gets interesting if it nukes. And if you want to have a breakout trade, I think above 29K gets really interesting because we already had all of this grinding at 2028. We don't really necessarily, like I don't think we're going to make a move like this. That'd be surprising to me, especially with how this move is set up. Because basically, if you look at this, right, this is one move up and then we have this consolidation here. So technically, if you take all of the noise away, what this is basically, this is how it looks. And whenever you have these kind of strong moves up with a consolidation that takes it sideways in a new emerging trend, you would expect that it just has another leg. So that's kind of what I'm expecting, actually. I could see the same sized leg that we have here copied on this side. So whether that might be going from this up here or if it just goes from here up there, I don't know. But I like this is what I think is going to happen. Like with 80-90% certainty in my head, doesn't really count for anything else because probabilities are always made up. But like I'm pretty certain now we're gonna get a reasonably like probably like a similar sized move that we had here again on the right side here. And then we'll see, right? Maybe that's the move where you just sell into the highs and it's actually fake out and comes back down, starts looking shit. But I'd be surprised if we didn't have another leg. And technically we had one leg here, we have another here, and then if you get the third one here, the third one is usually one where you actually want to de-risk some.
Don, how disgusting of us to spend 30 minutes on this show and only talk about price action. No real news other than I guess we mentioned Sailor buying. But, Do Kwon got arrested.
Oh, true, actually.
apparently, did you hear tomorrow there might be an indictment or arrest or an arrest of Donald Trump? There was a Fed meeting last week that we haven't covered. I guess they didn't really do anything big. Another 25-point raise and then a bunch of whipsaw around that. But is there any news on the horizon? This is where we need cred, to be honest.
Yes.
Tell us what's going on and what do we need to be on the lookout for? Have you been paying attention to the news at all?
I've actually been, like, the last 2 weeks I've been on holiday, so I actually, like, don't know at all what's going on. This was also my birthday the last few days, so
happy birthday.
Thank you. So it's kind of been like I've just looked at the charts, caught up with the charts today. Didn't look at the news, so very much unprepared.
Don's 22 years old now. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like major stuff, but just kind of the ripple effects or potential fallout from some of the banking stuff, the Fed talking about whether or not things are a big deal, whether the economy is still robust or not. But the actual news that came through, I think most of it amounted to noise personally. I think the market's pricing in now that there's not a lot of raises left out of the Fed. So maybe that's a potential surprise if they continue to raise, even though people thinking that they won't. Oh, and then thank you, Mekin. Crypto specific news, Arbitrum finally airdropped. So he says it was the biggest airdrop in history. I'll just repeat it as if it's fact. I don't know how big it was, but the Arbitrum airdrop is a big deal. And I heard all the layer two altcoins, the Arbitrum altcoins, all nuked as soon as Arbitrum came on the market. So it's not too surprising. I hadn't been trading Arbitrum or the alt ecosystem there, to be honest. I've had a really hard time getting convinced to do anything outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum. And even with those, like, doing something largely means doing nothing, like just holding the positions that I've had. So I've not been the most active trader, I have to admit, other than some legacy market stuff, but not really crypto.
Yeah, I don't really think there's too much to do anyway. Like Bitcoin, the entire way up, Bitcoin was just the king of the show, right? Sucked out all of the liquidity, and it's still a little bit like that. I had like a few altcoin positions. Like my altcoin positions have actually been doing really well in the last few days, which is a little bit surprising to me because I was used to them just going down only. Now XRP's, for example, been insanely strong. That's gone up like 30% in like the last week or so.
I forgot that you owned XRP still.
No, I actually bought more and then it went up immediately, which was really cute. Because like, fuck this. This is supposed to go up. I'm just going to buy a bunch. And then like a couple of days later, it went up by 30%, which I enjoyed. That was nice. But yeah, I don't really think there's too much to do on anything.
It looks really good. The weekly XRP looks really good.
Oh yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
I mean, it broke out of a range and it's sitting right on the underside. So it's literally on the underside of the 200 week moving average as well.
Oh, look, so that's my flex tweet.
Yeah. Nice. The prior range high, the one that went to 53 cents, that got just above the 200 week, but it's sitting there below again now. It looks like a nice range breakout, and then now potentially like kind of a trend flipping type of opportunity. It looks quite good. Looks like it wants to have a decision from the SEC thing.
I think that's basically it. I was like, rumors started floating up again, and the price was kind of like glued at 37. And this is like Bitcoin dumped, right? When Bitcoin did that big dump towards 20K, I had like bought some XRP before, and I just bought too early basically. And then Bitcoin went down 10-20% and XRP didn't move a bit. And then I was like, okay, if this is how it's going to act, I think it's just going to go up. Like a bunch of people basically using the Bitcoin dip to load up on XRP to kind of go play that SEC narrative. So I loaded up more. And I really like this chart. Just, I mean, whenever you have these big candles to the downside and you get a consolidation and a move back into where that down move came from, what usually happens, right, is that you don't stop there, but you actually just go. It's the same as range reclaim. It's just a little bit of a different setup. It's technically resistance. So, I mean, it can get rejected, but I think even if it goes back down a little bit, it's going to come back up. So that chart just looks really, really good.
If I was trying to take a position in XRP, which I don't even know if I can do anymore as an American, I would be using this weekly for my actual targets. And then I would look at consolidation on like a 4-hour chart. So yes. Somebody was asking earlier, like, hey, when are y'all going to look at the 4-hour chart? I would be using this chart to inform my decision-making based on those weekly targets. So if it breaks out from here, I think you just got to buy it on that level right there on this 4-hour, but it could also retrace a few percent and, you know, you just buy somewhere in that consolidation. And if it's kind of pressing the ceiling on it, I'd be more and more tempted to give that a go. I think what's interesting about this is it seems very narrative driven because it looks way different than other altcoins do right now.
Oh, yes. This is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
XRP dominance.
When I found this, I was like, what is this? But that just looks good in comparison to a lot of other things. Like, that's a massive, massive move, right? Like, the XRP dominance went up a shitload. If you pair it against anything else, right? XRP USD against ETH USD, that's been pain town. And it starts to look like something, right? It's been down only and it's been ranging. Like, this is a move of 94%. That's insane. And now it's been ranging for quite a while. And I think this could see, even against ETH, some upside. Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I don't like XRP in general, but I'm going to take money if I'm handed some money. And I think that's like, basically, if the SEC case goes right, you have like a 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x on your hands on XRP. Mm-hmm. It's just a narrative play. It seems pretty like XRP, whenever it gets news that are good, it goes hard, right? And if it goes wrong, I mean, you're going to take a fat L, right? We're going to lose like 50%. But I'll take a trade that nets me like 3x, 4x and kind of risks 50% of a haircut, especially given that if I get the news before other people do, which is actually not that unlikely given I sit at my computer all day, I might actually just take a 10% haircut and get out of it or even take a win because I played that narrative so early that even the anticipation, like if this would have to now go down by 20% before it gets anywhere close to my entry, right? So basically me just speculating before other people speculate on the SEC case gives me quite the cushion. So if the SEC case goes well, I'm in the prime position to kind of take this home to $1, maybe $2. I think that's not that unreasonable.
See, I was sitting here thinking, I think, you know, 70 cents looks like a good target.
I think if the XRP goes right. XRP to
$589.
No, but I think like it's we're in this world where like if you get something positive, right? And this is a big thing because the SEC has been hammering down on crypto, right? So that's going to be big news all over if finally like crypto strikes back. And XRP has the most idiotic people in their fandom. It's just true. They're just gonna buy with everything they have. They're gonna take this as validation that XRP is going to 589, right? And yeah. I don't want to miss out on that. That's why I took the trade. And I think if it goes well, you can like I think $1 is low and $2 is like reasonable. If it goes wrong, you're gonna see this thing trade at like near zero prices eventually. But fair enough. It's an altcoin trade, right? You don't go all in altcoin trade. You just put in a little bit. And if it goes 5x, now you have quite a bit of money. The most dangerous thing with trading altcoins is that you buy the altcoin and then you sit in it and it bleeds out 80% over the next 5 years, right? That's the most dangerous thing. That's the one thing that you want to avoid. But if you have something that guarantees you basically that this is going to move, then you have a trade on your hand, right? Because you don't want to be sitting stuck in a position. You want to have something that is actually going to move. Even if it's going to move against you, you can take the L and move out of it. The problem is if you buy something and it just doesn't do anything and bleeds out 1 or 2% every week, that's where it gets dangerous.
Yeah. All right. So that's our XRP quota. I want to talk a little bit more about Arbitrum and Optimism, things from this century that are actually relevant. So as a pair trade, a lot of people, you got to go down like that. Yeah. A lot of people thought, oh, this is going to be super volatile for Arbitrum to find its price point. And it's been just in this pretty narrow range the whole time. And I think what it did is it pretty quickly created a like ratio-based value next to Optimism. So Arbitrum now is a $1.5 billion circulating market cap with a fully diluted valuation of around $12 billion. And compare that to Optimism, which is a $670 million market cap, but a fully diluted valuation of just over $9 billion. Mm. So essentially, it's giving Arbitrum maybe close to 3x premium on circulating market cap, but only about a 25% premium on the fully diluted valuation, because Arbitrum dropped a higher percentage of coins than Optimism did. And I think that's relatively fair, but I think seeing that relationship play out will be really interesting, because what we've also seen is Arbitrum has started to blow other L2s out of the water in terms of usage and TBL and things like that. And so I want to watch those ratios of like which one is gaining market share and then how is that reflective in price, because I think that's where your trade might show up, is you end up like seeing one of these layer twos start to take over as they come online, because more and more of them are coming online. So if Arbitrum really becomes the dominant player, but it's still like not at a significant premium relative to say Optimism or other options, I think that could create a potential long scenario. I have no exposure to Arbitrum for what's worth, private or otherwise. I think that could actually create an interesting trade for Arbitrum. And I'm not taking that trade right now. But if there's a real flavor for an alt season or whatever, which we've mentioned, you know, Arthur Hayes swears is coming, then I want to be on the lookout for Arbitrum as a really good, interesting trade, especially relative to something like Solana, which I feel like has just been stuck in the mud. And most of the alt layer ones have been as well. I think the layer two platform trade has a lot of upside opportunity.
Yeah, I actually like it here on a low time frame basis. I mean, it starts looking really shit if it breaks this to the downside, but that's your invalidation. And then, I mean, even if you trade this low time frame, you only take it to here. That's cool, but I actually don't hate it here. Like,
but any trade that has a tight invalidation is with a reasonable upside is a nice trade to be able to take. So yeah, I don't disagree with you.
But yeah, I agree with your thesis as well. Like if you get any altcoin upside, this is probably going to do well. I like these kind of, I mean, I hate trade. Like it's really hard to kind of get a technical setup for these because you just don't have any history. So you don't have any technicals per se. Right. Like you have a 1 hour chart, and then, I mean, the 1 hour chart, this dump could just be one big guy just selling. Right. Which doesn't, like it can take the price down, especially on a newly listed thing by a lot. And then you're like, oh, my technicals failed. Like if a big whale or whatever showed up here and just started selling below the support, you could be like, oh, it broke down. But technically there's still like a bunch of buying happening and shoots back up. Like there's a lot of interference basically on these low time frame charts that could happen that could take you out. But also the reward is quite great, right? Because you can buy this thing.
And it's going to do a lot of stuff on that low time frame with a lot of volume.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to, the cool thing about these is that you get into the trade and you get out of the trade quite quickly. And it goes quite fast to target and stop loss, which is good in general for trading. And I generally think if you buy this and you get a good entry, it's something that I would like to kind of keep for a while, see if I can squeeze out more. Because technically you have a setup here for like a few cents to the upside. But if you can catch like close to the bottom anyway for this thing, and we get a good favorable conditions for altcoins in general, I think this is one that you want to hold. So it's an interesting one, yeah. For me, it's really tough to value it though. Like it's...
Oh yeah, it's hard to say like, okay, well there's 10x upside on something with a $12 billion FTV.
Yeah.
Do you really think it's going to go to 120 billion? I don't.
But it always
could it 2x? Sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing with the FTV is always like, it does matter in the end, but it doesn't matter before the end. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like this shit, like you have an FTV of like humongously big and people are like, oh, I don't want to buy this. And then 10x's and then a bear market hits or like in general, it starts going down again. And it goes to more reasonable prices. So the FTV didn't really matter for the 10x because everyone's just like, well, the market cap is small now. I'm just going to YOLO it. And then it's just basically the FTV just going to makes you want to sell it eventually. Like you don't want to be a backholder of a coin that has a shitload of unlocked or like locked supply that's going to get unlocked, in my opinion.
But I think what's beneficial for me is taking those trades of big coins, looking at 2x potential rather than like trying to decipher 10x potential. I traded Uniswap a lot when it was new, basically in this type of format. And that worked well for me because I set more modest targets, I guess, in terms of what I hoped for with my upside. And because it was so liquid and, you know, the price, there were so many people trading it, it actually made it a lot of fun. And it was still an immature market. So that was a lot of fun. And maybe there's potential here for the same type of thing with some of these layer two trades. But yeah, I wouldn't be looking at them to say, you know, Arbitrum to the moon and it's going 10x or 100x or anything like that. It's just not that type of coin. And those projects still exist. I see people talking about these things that have like $10 million caps and they're tweeting them to, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 followers. And I'm like, guys, what do y'all do it? But what's funny is like, so nobody looks at that stuff, but nobody, it's not even affecting the charts anymore. Like, no, that's just a sign of like how few people are trading down the long tail of charts, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a few people kind of argue that it's totally okay for like a huge account to tweet out 10 million market cap coins because they're just finding gems. And I'm like, I don't know. We've been seeing this for years and years and years, right? Like, it's not like that. Like, you're not finding the hidden gem. You're finding something that's pumping and dumping most of the time, like 99% of the time. The hidden gems are elsewhere, but yeah. Everyone does whatever they want. I'm not the moral police anymore. I'm kind of sick of it.
Anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I used to just go on Twitter and be like, oh, you're a cunt for doing this. And you get hate from them back and you also get hate from their followers back. And you're just like, well, I'm not going to change anyone to do better. So I don't know. Just got sick of it.
Sheriff Duck has put up his badge.
Yeah.
It'd be a good NFT project.
Oh, I think with the duck, you could make a shitload of NFTs that would work quite well, actually. Yeah.
That's funny.
You're too lazy.
Yeah. Well, I don't have much to end with. I guess I'm just going to be watching these consolidations and personally going to be keeping an eye on what happens in the legacy market to inform whether I feel like there's a risk tolerance or not for crypto. Not even so much trying to say, oh, this is exact correlation of this or that, but just, is there a risk tolerance? Right now, I think there is. I think, you know, Dixie still looks like crap, and I'm not seeing so much weakness in the legacy indexes, but there's obviously weakness in certain parts of the economy. So I'm going to keep an eye on it, but I don't see any imminent reasons why we have to sell all our bags and walk away quite yet.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, tops usually get a little bit more aggressive than the one that we've had. This just doesn't look like it to me. I think we're gonna push high, even if you're bearish. I think you want to sell higher, like in 232k maybe if you get a push. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking my bags, and same for you. Maybe we're just talking our bags, being like, this doesn't look like a top because I haven't sold yet.
Yeah, selling Ethereum with a one handle on the front just makes me sick. So,
yeah, I get that. Obviously. Looks like it has to be 2,000 plus.
Yeah, but we're just talking our bags, like you said.
Yes.
All right. Thanks everybody for being here. We will catch you next time, probably next week. I'm still going to be out of town, but I'll be out of town for different reasons and in different places. But as long as my internet connection is good, then I'll be there. If I'm not there, maybe Don and Craig will be there. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.